Luke 18, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. We're going to read down through verse number 14. Luke 18, beginning in verse number 9, and the Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain ones which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." This morning we're going to continue in things that are not so. This morning we're going to take a look at the Pharisee. Sanctified or sanctimonious? Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you for what we have heard this day. We rejoice that you are our King. It's a grand, grand thing that you are able to deliver us. We thank you. And we praise you that you are near. God, we have that promise. We'll be looking at that this afternoon. But now as we come into the preaching time, God, we ask now that you would work in our hearts, in our lives, in our midst. Holy Spirit, do what only you can, and that is touch hearts. All is vain unless the Spirit comes down. We want the will of the Father to be accomplished. We want all the glory and all the honor and all the praise to go to the Son who is exalted and lifted up. You must increase. We must decrease. God, now fill me with your power. Give me the words to say. Hold my tongue where you do not want me to speak. Lord, this is your service. Use me as your mouthpiece now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we come into this portion of Scripture, and we've taken a look at four other men that we've taken a look at the things that are not so. We've looked at Samson. We've looked at Gideon. We've taken a look at the rich fool. And I'm trying to remember who the first one was that we took. It just left him. Judas. That's right. Judas. This morning we're going to take a look at the Pharisee. Now, unlike any of the other passages, we're giving a compare and contrast situation here. We've got the Pharisee and the publican, and so we're going to try to bring both of them out in the story. But I find it very interesting that Christ lays out who he is trying to talk to. He's trying to talk to those people that trust in themselves, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But this morning, I'll tell you what, I've been asking God, just make your will very clear, make your way very clear, give me the words to say, because I do not want to say anything that would hinder, but I only want to help. And this morning, what a wonderful Sunday school hour we had. The condescending Christ, how that he left the glory of heaven for the gore of earth, the cheers of heaven for the jeers of earth. And how often you and I in our daily lives exalt ourselves above him. Oh, that would
convict each and every one of us. But this story that we see right here, how often are you and I trusting in our own abilities, in our own knowledge, in our own ways, in our own ability to accomplish what God tells us to in His Word? This morning, are you sanctified or are you sanctimonious? Sanctimonious is one that is a hypocritical form of performing a religious duty. But then there's the sanctified, those that are set apart unto God. And this morning, that's my question. Are you the hypocrite that is just trying to do? Or are you the one that is set apart unto God, knowing that you can't, but He can?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, man. We're going to get into that this afternoon. And I'm very excited about this afternoon. I'm excited about this message too. Amen. So I love preaching. Amen. And I love God's Word. And I just want to go on record again. I know y'all probably questioning this, Josiah, but I love Jesus. And I'm glad He loves me.
Amen. Yeah.
And this morning, I love you. And this message is not one of a rebuke, but this morning this message is an exhortation that we would take heed to ourselves.
Yes, sir.
That we would think less of ourselves and more of our Savior. So the first thing that I see in this, and number one, is going to be the people. We see two people here. We've got the Pharisee and the publican. Amen. That's pretty simple. I love how God sometimes just outlines things for us. Right? Here it is. I mean, He's already given us the alliteration for it too. The Pharisee and the publican. Amen. So we see that God is dealing with two types of people here. Just so you know that there are two types of people in this world today. There are going to be those that are going to think more highly of themselves than they ought, and there's going to be the publican. Now, the Pharisee is the religious crowd, the ones that think they've got it all going on. They've got everything, all their ducks in a row. And I guarantee you, if you look at the Pharisees, they had everything planned out from the time that they turned 13 to the time that they will be put in their bone box. Well, how do you know that? Because they kept to the law. Anybody that was going to be about the work of the temple, those Levites that were going to be doing the temple work, you got to understand this, at the age of 25, they were then put into training for 10 years. From 35 to 55, they would then do the work of the ministry. Then from 55 to the end of their life, they would be put into some life duty work of the ministry. We find that actually illustrated for us in Luke chapter number 1, where Zacharias, and what's he doing in the temple? Alright, he's in there lighting the candles. Alright, he's in there making sure the incense is burning. He's making sure the bread, he's putting the bread on the table of showbread. He's making sure that everything's in its right place. And let me take just a moment here and challenge you. It doesn't matter how old we get, there is a place of service for each and every one of us. Amen. Hey, man, the heavy lift is going to be that middle age, that prime of life group. Listen to me, there's a bunch of us right now that are in that group. Hey, listen, I believe God is doing some things, and I can't explain why it's taking so long to get the building done. I can't explain why, and maybe there's some lessons that I need to be learning. I was telling another preacher this week, man, God, please help me get the lesson so I can get out of this class.
Amen.
But sometimes God has to take us through the school of hard knocks. So that we get the lesson locked in to the very depths of my soul where I don't make that mistake again. And so, God, I'm here. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to learn. But it's amazing to me in that time, I believe God right now is preparing us for some heavy lifting. I think we're going to come out on the other side of this building project and we're going to see God's got a work for us to do. There are souls that need to be saved.
Amen.
There's a city that needs to be reclaimed from the snares of the wicked one. You and I are called to be light. You and I are called to be salt. And there is a work for us to do. From the youngest in this room, listen to me, Samuel was 3 years old in the temple. And he's running in somewhere probably between 5 and 6 years old. He's running into Eli. What do you need? God was speaking to a child. I praise God. Brother Dustin brought it out to put a millstone about your neck. And by the way, I do believe that is dual purpose. Alright, if you mess with a little one, God is going to bring a swift and violent judgment upon you. But I wholeheartedly believe, I agree 100%. He texted me last Sunday. He was like, hey, can I get your ideas on the passage? And I said, I agree with your assessment 100%. Because the story that when he brings that child and puts him on his knee, what did he just do for Peter? He just told him, hey, I want you to go down. We've got to pay tribute. I want you to go down to the sea. I want you to take a hook. And I want you to put it in. And you're going to catch a fish that's got money in its mouth. Now, Brother Roger, you have been a fisherman for how long? Basically, your whole life. You mean your dad took you fishing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it started when you were knee high to a grasshopper. Please tell me the time that you have put a hook in the water to catch a fish at the command of your dad and say, hey, oh, by the way, there's going to be a gold coin in there. Don't bait it. Don't do nothing. Just put the hook in the water. There's never been a time. Even if you go fly fishing, what's the fly? It is the lure. They put all this stuff around the hook to trick a fish into thinking that that's something that's going to be delectable. And here it is. It's amazing to me that Jesus tells Peter, and depending on who you read after, is somewhere between the age of 16 and 25. Alright, now watch this. This is very fascinating to me. That man had been fishing his whole life. Never one time has he been told, put a hook in the water and catch a fish that's got money in its mouth. And what did Peter do when Jesus told him to do it? He didn't say, that's crazy. Hey, I've been fishing since I was, and I know you're my rabbi, I know you're my master, I know you're my teacher, but that's not gonna work. He didn't do that. What did he do? He took the line, put a hook on it, put it through the water, put it in, boom. Oh. Now, while Peter is doing that, Jesus is now having a discourse with the other disciples.
He says, puts the child here. So the kingdom of heaven is like these. And I cannot help but think of who Jesus is thinking about. That he just went down to the water in simple faith, believing that God would do what is impossible. You and I have got to get ourselves to a place where we are humble. There's a work for all of us to do, but we find these Pharisees knew everything about their life. Matter of fact, we know some of the Pharisees. Right? Right? When you start going through scripture, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. Caiaphas was a Pharisee. And so they're the ones in the religious order. They have all their ducks in a row. They've got everything that looks real good. But then we find the publicans. Who were the publicans? The publicans were the tax collectors. Alright, let's illustrate it. Matthew. One of the Gospels, his account is from the perspective of, I'm a tax collector. And here it is, it's interesting, when you read Matthew's account, he gives a different perspective than Mark and Luke and John. Alright, he gives a perspective of, he's the king.
That Jesus Christ is King. Alright, now that makes a lot of sense when you start to think about His profession. What was He doing? He was collecting tribute for the King. And when He is laying out His perspective, He's laying it out from the perspective of the one that would swindle and the one that would trick and the one that would do all this collecting. He made sure that all the details were right. So that's the account that we're getting from Matthew. So we see the Pharisees and the publicans. Let me ask you a question. Do we see ourselves in one of the two? We can see ourselves as I grew up in church and I grew up and everything, or I was the crook. I was the one over here cooking the books. I was over here. We know Zacchaeus was a publican. And what do we know about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was stealing on the side to the point when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. He goes in and Zacchaeus trusts Christ as his Savior. And all of a sudden he says, man, I gotta pay fourfold to all these people. Hey, he kept diligent record of every dime that he took. Now he didn't take from Caesar. No, he took from the people.
Right. Yeah.
See why there was a hatred toward the tax collectors. And Jesus says, I want one of them on my team. I'm so thankful that God is still in the saving business of the crooks and the people that are always trying to make sure that their way is profitable to them. I'm so glad that He's put, whoo, amen, that He put Himself aside for me.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
And I'm always looking for my edge to make sure Jeff is taken care of. And Jesus has said, if you come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out.
Mm-hmm, sir.
He said, but I'll do something that'll be above anything that you could ever see or want. I'll give you the desire of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's absolutely amazing? When I put myself in line, we're going to get here. When I put myself in line with the Savior, I'm living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm living the dream. Mm-hmm. So we see that the people. Number two, we see not just the people, but I want you to see their posture. We see the Pharisee is there, and what's he doing? He stood. Now we know from the way the verse reads that he is looking up and out.
Right,
he's standing there in the midst of all these people, and he is looking there, and he. What we see the Pharisee is. Standing and looking up. I thank thee that I am not an extortioner. I want you to think what we just talked about with the publican. I thank thee I'm not an adulterer. Not as this man right here. I pass twice a week. Surely he had suspenders on.
Absolutely.
I tithe of all my possessions. Have you ever met somebody like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Oh. Rub dust is like back there rubbing his. He's like... But here it is. By no offense, Brother Dustin. I'm not calling you a Pharisee. All right, but here it is. We've all seen them. We've seen those preachers step into the pulpit, and what do? They're not going to spend time with you. They're not going to talk to you. They think more highly of themselves than they are. And they say, no, I'm worth my paycheck. They're all about the hire. They're a hireling, not a shepherd. We've seen those people. We've been in church with those people. When they walk in and all their ducklings are in a row and they're marching in perfect formation, they turn and they sit down in perfect timing, in perfect formation. And the dad, when all of that happens, he's the last one to sit down, looks around to make sure everybody saw it. And he says, you know what I find very interesting? Those families are the ones where the kids run off.
Right, yeah. Yep.
Why? Because there's one way to get that.
Yeah.
It's a military mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Get in line! Basic training.
I'll get everybody in line.
Brother James and I were talking about this over the last couple of days. I was cracking up. He's like, they make it to where you are going to fail. They are doing it so you get yelled at. And on day one, he's supposed to be standing on these things. And he's being Mr. Nice Guy, holding the door for everybody. Yeah. And he's like, oh, how am I going to get over there? And then he asks it, what do you got to do? You got to climb over somebody. You're not supposed to climb over anything. Right in his face. Him and Underwood, day one, are like, no, not that guy. You know, but here it is. I can have my house run like a battleship. But please know this, there are going to be fights that are going to take on, and the enemy and the harshness in order to keep that is going to drive everyone away.
Right.
That you're not going to find Christ that way.
Right.
Never one time. Forgive me for just a moment. But in Christ's likeness, I do not find a general. I do not find a military mentality. I find tenderness. I find meekness. I find gentleness. I'm supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier, not be hardness as a good soldier.
Amen.
And we find that all over. As preachers will get up into the pulpit and we will dress down our people. And the shepherd will tear down.
Right.
And their posture.
Yep.
While they're doing it.
Yep.
Yep. This is the peacock.
Yep.
Woo! Right? And here it is. We can look this part and we can be this thing. And God says, I abhor that.
Right?
Yeah. Amen.
Right, sir.
You're as far from me.
Yeah.
Thinking that you are being righteous.
Right.
You're not justified. But we find the posture of the publican. The posture of the publican, we know he's standing. But notice this, that he's afar off. And he's there in this condition. He says he will not lift his eyes as to heaven, but pounding upon his chest. Be merciful to me, O God. And the Pharisee looks upon the publican and scoffs and mocks him. How ridiculous this man is. He is a crook. He is a swindler. He is an extortioner. But I... Anybody see a problem? See, we see the people, we see the posture. But number three, I want you to notice right here that the prayers. The prayers. God, I thank thee. I want you to see his pride. I'm not as other men are. But I want you to see his piety. He's there and he says, I fast twice a week. You know what I find very interesting? And this is fascinating to me, and I challenge you, study it out. Study the scriptures. Anybody that gets up and brags about their fastings is not done the favor of God. Anybody that gets up and says, I fasted for this many days, and this many days, and this many days, is not having heaven hear him. He has now got his glory. How do you know that? Because now we're seeing he's a Pharisee. The Pharisee is, I fast twice a week. How long does he fast? It doesn't matter. He's bragging about how much he fasts. That's not having the mind of God. That's not getting a hold of God. That's not having the hard cases answered. I do that as a badge of honor.
Well, I fast more than you do.
And by the way, I'm working on a message. Y'all pray for me. I'm working on a message on fasting. Because biblically, we are to fast. There are a lot of people that say, well, you shouldn't fast. You shouldn't fast. It's harmful for your body. Yet Christ commanded us to fast. And by the way, when the Pharisees came to him and asked him, why don't your disciples fast? He said,
Are the children, when the bridegroom is there, are the people not supposed to celebrate, not supposed to drink and eat and be merry if the bridegroom is there? He goes, oh, but there's going to come a point where the bridegroom will go away and there will be a need for that.
Right.
There's not a need when Jesus is there. Hey, can I tell you, there's going to come a day where you and I are not going to need fasting.
Amen.
That all things
Amen.
Will be in a glorified state. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, shame on the devil.
Yes.
But until then, there is a certain way you and I are to fast. And it's not in front of everybody else. I fasted today. How about you? Well, you know, I denied myself in this area. Ha, ha, ha. I did it twice this week. How about you? Now, what are we doing? We're trying to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. And what do? We become unwise. I see the posture, but the prayer. I want you to notice the publican's prayer. The publican's prayer. I want you to notice, first off, his pain. His pain. Alright? That's his longing. His soul was not. I know who I am. See, when the Pharisee is over there, I thank thee, I'm not an extortioner. The publican is over there, I know who I am. I thank thee, I'm not an adulterer, I know who I am. Thank you, I'm not like this publican, I know I am. His longing was not to change who he was. His longing was not to become something he's not. His longing was the plea of God, I know who I am, be merciful to me, a sinner. We've got to get to a point where when we are praying, it's not about our piety. It's about our pleading over the pains of this life that I know who I am. I know Jeff the way nobody else in this room knows me. I know the inner thoughts and the inner depth, and listen, and the only other person that knows all of that is God. And he says, Jeff, you should not think more highly of yourself than you are. You need to bring yourself down a little bit. And I say, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. But I do want to encourage us in this. We're going to deal with this in the afternoon service. I'm thankful that the day I trust him, he changes my position. I understand. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not focusing on the sinner side of it anymore. That day that I was begging for mercy, God, you see my true condition. I need you. And he says, come unto me and I will not cast you out. And when I turn to him, he accepts me into the beloved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shame on the devil. But it gives me a different standing.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that.
But number four, I want you to notice the problem. The problem. We see it in verse number 9 that there are those certain ones that trust in themselves. And we see the problem revealed in how the Pharisee prays. He says, and I tithe of all that I possess. See, this is the problem with the Pharisee. He's trusting in himself.
Right.
He's trusting in his own things, his own righteousness, and despising all those around him. But this is where I want to get to. The problem is this. He believes he's the owner. He believes he's the owner. All these things that I have, they're mine. Now watch this. This is the spirit
Notice this. It's in the scripture. Read the spirit of the Pharisee of, and I'm doing God a favor by giving back to Him of everything that I possess. I'm giving back to Him out of my graciousness, out of my mind. I'm tithing to Him. And this is where we find the problem. The problem with the Pharisees are that they believe that they are the owners.
Right.
But see, you and I know that that is not true. There is only one owner. We're about to get into some good ground. Amen. See, in the beginning, God. Y'all tracking me? In the beginning, God. We know that there is only one creator. There is only one owner. And He created all things. But I want you to notice this. Not only do we see that He is the owner because He created it, but He's the owner by His declarations. He tells us in Job chapter number 41, He says, all the earth is mine. Brother Dustin dealt with that this morning. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And Brother Dustin said it. He said he owns the potatoes too. Amen. It's all His. Everything that you have is not yours. It's God's. My house is God's. My car is God's. My suit is God's. My wife is God's. My children are God's. And He gives us time and time and time again the declaration of all this is mine.
Right?
That's right. Yep.
He also shows us how He is the owner. He gives us the declarations, but He also shows us He is the owner by the declared judgments. Go to Deuteronomy, and you will read, there's a portion of scripture, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on where it is at. I believe it's Deuteronomy 28, but I will get that nailed down for this afternoon. But here it is. He starts telling them and says, oh, by the way, you're my people, and if you don't do what I want you to do, the judgments that I brought upon Egypt and the plagues that I brought upon them, they're going to be worse when they come upon you.
Right. Yes, sir.
He tells His people, I'm going to do these things. Matter of fact, if you start going through the eyewitness account of all His preachers, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Amos. You start going through them all. And you will start to see how God is declaring that you're mine and I'm going to judge you. See, the creator, the owner of everything gets to judge how it gets handled. You got a rental car the other day, didn't you? Now, how are you supposed to drive that rental car?
With care.
With care, but this is how one person said it. Said, drive it like you stole it. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take back a wrecked vehicle. I'm not going to take back a torn out transmission to the rental car place. Matter of fact, I'm going to drive it, I'm going to take care of it, probably better than I do my own vehicle. Matter of fact, we're riding along and all of a sudden he found a french fry in the seat that wasn't even his. It's like, I wonder how this tastes. And then, like, all of a sudden, poor Hanson ties over the entire car. David got you an ample job cleaning this car. It's absolutely amazing to me. Because what? He's like, oh, that cashew, I got to get that out of there. Got to get all that french fry. That's not mine. Oh. But here it is. What was he doing? He made sure that it is taken care of. Why? Because he is just a steward, not the owner. Why do you have to give a security deposit on rental properties? Because you're not the owner. And when you move out, undoubtedly something's going to be tore up. And they are going to say that I have this security deposit to make sure that I cover all these things that you tore up. Why? You're just a steward.
You're not the owner. You know another way that God shows that he is an owner is his control of it. Joshua, they are out there in the battle, and what does Joshua say? God, stand the sun still so that we can conquer the enemy. And what does God do? Okay. And God, for a time, pauses the rotation of the earth. Like, I don't know what happened on that. I don't know if gravity all of a sudden, they're like, oh! Like, I don't know what happened, but I do know this, that we actually find in ancient writings of a time where day was longer than another. Other civilizations, other than just the Jews, wrote about, there were a few more hours in the day. Was really weird, and then the fast forward didn't caught back up. No, that's not how it worked. But God, what did he do? He's in control of it, and he stopped it. That shows his ownership of it. But what's another way that he shows ownership? 1 Corinthians tells us, you are not your own, for you have been bought for a price.
Right.
Hey, can I tell you this? Another way to show ownership is to purchase it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Came with it. I am not my own. Why? Because I have a God. I have a Savior that redeemed me, that bought me, that paid for me. And what did it cost him? It cost him laying his life down for me. His life for mine. Looking to the cross, I love. We were riding back, and we're sitting there talking about what would you like to see in the Bible? What would be just if you could look at anything? James said the crucifixion. I said Gethsemane. Brother James said the Red Sea. Or David and Goliath. And then Jonathan said the resurrection. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Hey, can I tell you this? That if we could stop time and go back into that, there's no doubt in my mind that we would like to rehearse the day we got saved. But you and I get to do that on a daily basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get to wake up in the morning and remember the day that I turned from my way unto him and the day he bought me. Because today is not mine, it is his. He owns it. The problem with the Pharisee is he believes he's his own owner. He owns all these things, and look at me, look at what I'm doing, look, because I possess. And God says, no, you're not the owner. You're just a steward. See, our problem is that we think we are our owner. I'm my own boss. I'm my own God. I get to do what I want to do. And the reality is this, that God has given us an entire book that says the exact opposite of what you believe. And what's the problem? You trust in your own self. Hey, can I tell you this? The scripture tells us that when we're trying to find God and we're trying to beseech him and we're trying to follow after him, he says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Can I tell you, I've got 66 counselors in this book right here. Guys like Moses, David, Jephthah, Gideon, Aaron, Korah. Hey, you say, well, I wouldn't take advice from Korah. Then why are you not heeding the advice of more godly and spiritual men? You're not even heeding what Paul tells Timothy. Or he tells Titus. I'm really excited about this afternoon. Paul starts getting into knowing things.
If you and I are going to actually reckon things to be so in our life, you and I got to know a thing or two. And how can we know a thing or two? Because God has seen a thing or two. Amen. I'm not my owner. I am just a steward. But I want you to notice lastly, number 14. The principle. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Who went down justified? The publican. He says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That word abased means that you are going to be made lower than the base. It means that you are getting down to bedrock level. That you will be the one that is actually built over. Here it is. We need to get to a point to where we think less highly of ourselves. Because when I think more highly of myself when I ought, when I exalt myself, God says, okay, you're exalting yourself, I'm about to make it to where you are below. Right? It's like, we're going to put you under the jail. No, 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 it's lower than under the jail. It's down to the very footing that the jail is built on. But what happens to the one? What happens to the one that humbles himself? I'll exalt you. I'll exalt you. I will bring you up to the heights. Hey, this is why the Bible tells us, let another man praise thee.
Right?
I don't need to go around, Brother James. How was that outline today? That's pretty good, wasn't it? Did you see all the letters are the same? Did you notice that? Did you notice how even the subpoints were all the same? Like, I think I got a little carried away with that last week. Yeah, why are y'all looking at me like that? Y'all are all like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. They're all peace. I don't know if y'all have noticed this or not, but the last 3 weeks have been all peace. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to write a book here. Leave me alone. No, but the reality is, and by the way, I'm not against alliteration. That's just kind of one of my things. I like that. But here it is. But I can get, there are some guys that will, did you notice that? You remembered it all, didn't you? And you're like, ah, it got a little too complicated. When you have 22 points and subpoints that all are PP, it's like, that's really hard. Alright, so, we're just going to make it simple. Get the principle of it. So you just humble yourself. When I humble myself, God said, I'll exalt you.
Amen.
Hey, can I, do you know, this is where we got some young men that are going to be preaching here in the next few weeks. We're going to be starting next week, and we're going to be preaching through the end of the month. We're going to have some young men preaching the word. Can I challenge y'all with something? Brother Dustin said it 3 times in Sunday school, so I'm just parroting what I heard my teacher say. Amen. Hey, can I help with this? Don't worry about how many are in the congregation you're preaching to.
Right. Yep.
Think about the heavenly host that you're preaching to.
Amen.
Oh, Moody was preaching to his 10,000. I get to preach to a multitude on a weekly basis. Unnumbered. The sands of the sea. Because I'm not preaching for you. I'm preaching for an audience of one. And when I am in those heavenly places, all of heaven gets, we start talking, there's no doubt in my mind when Brother Dustin's been teaching on Jesus that the throngs of heaven are standing and exalting and clap and a raising of hands. They're talking about our Savior. They're talking about our King. They're talking about God. Yeah, come on. We're getting into some good ground. I'm alright. There have been a few times where we've gotten into the glories and you start preaching about Jesus. You stop worrying about yourself and you get into some heavenly places. I remember preaching Grandmommy's funeral. We start preaching about Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We started pulling some SM lockers. We started talking through all this stuff. We started talking about Jesus. And I'm telling you, you couldn't help. The Spirit of God was there. And at some point during the middle of the message, I said, I love how Sim Lockridge does this. He says, I'd love to describe him to you. And he pauses for a moment. He then says, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. And when we did that, the people just started clapping in the First Baptist Church of West Memphis. And what did you do? I kept preaching. Now, they're not clapping for me. We're talking about Jesus. And we start talking about the one that you can't get him out of your mind and you can't get him off your hands. Hey, you can't live without him and you can't outlive him. Amen. You start talking. We start exalting the Savior. We start putting ourselves down. And the Savior says, now watch this. I'll exalt you with me. The problem is this, and I think I got it all figured out. I've got it figured out on how to be a husband. I've got it figured out for you sitting here, how to be a wife. I don't have that figured out. Alright. How to love tenderly. I'm like, I don't know. Alright. That's just don't touch me. Alright. But here it is, it's amazing to me that when we start to put ourselves down and we get that mentality of, God, I can't. But you can. He then says, you're at the perfect spot for me to do a work. And he then exalts us. Oh, that we would be sanctified, not sanctimonious. Not that we are just some hypocrites performing religious rites. No, that you and I are truly setting ourselves apart unto God, saying, God, be merciful to me, because I can't do this thing called the Christian life. And God promises that person, I'll exalt them. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We pray you take these thoughts. We love you.